I was thinking about the title of this message, and I changed it up a little bit, but, you know, just to spin off of that old song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. You know, people are really optimistic is what they're saying. People are excited. They're expecting things to really take a turn and for the better, and there was this election thing, and people are real excited about it. They say that people are just spending money based on expectations of things getting better. Somebody said people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. You know, we just get all excited, and, you know, it's amazing. Even the stock market's really getting bigger because of expectations. You know, I don't know if I've ever bought anything with expectations too much. You know, usually it takes money, but I guess expectations will be good. I do remember I planted some watermelons one time, and I kept buying things, and I'd just tell everybody, you know, when I sell my watermelons, I'm going to pay you. And when I sold the watermelons, I had lost about $2,000. And all those people I was going to pay with expectations had to wait. Now, I did finally pay them all, but I didn't do it when the watermelons got picked because nobody would buy my watermelons. That's why I don't like watermelons even to this day. We're dreaming of a right Christmas, or could we just have a right Christmas? This Christmas, we need the right person. You know, we think that if we elect the right person, but you see, our right person is one that is sent by God. And in the book of Luke, in chapter 2, we get our great Christmas story. It says that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And, you know, and it begins to name all of this. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto Bethlehem to be taxed with his spouse's wife. And he, her being great with child. And we all know this Christmas story. Isn't it amazing? In Isaiah, it gives us a little in chapter 9, for unto us a child is born. You know, this is like 750 years before Jesus is born. But Isaiah hears something from God, and he says a child is going to be born, a son is going to be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And you, I can't say it enough. If you'll look at these writings of the prophets, and when they reference judgment, it's how much to bless you. And he's talking about it's going to establish blessings, and it's going to establish justice. In other words, all of our wrongs are going to be removed, and he's going to judge us based upon this child that is born and a son that is given. You know, it's amazing to me that God could have sent Jesus. And when John the Baptist was baptizing on the river Jordan, he could have just showed up as a full-born man, as a grown man, and come walking down the banks of the Jordan River. And John the Baptist could have acknowledged that this is the Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. But Isaiah knew that this son was going to be given, but he was not going to come as a grown person. He was going to come as a little baby. A child is going to be born. A baby is going to be born. This is the right person, the one that was born. Why couldn't he just come as a man? man, because the Bible tells me that he was tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we who knew no righteousness could become righteous in the eyes of the Father. And his judgment and his justice, when he looks at us, we're no longer something that is going to die, but he has made us something that is going to live forever and forever. The right person, and he knows every feeling and every emotion and everything that you've gone through from the day that you were born until the day that you die. And there's nothing that's going to happen to you that he doesn't understand it, my God. Told the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. It's good to have all of these scriptures. Most of them I can just say them. It's kind of a story I've preached on now for about 40 years. And so it's so interesting, the right person. And, you know, I know that we get a lot of distractions, and, there's a thing about this Santa Claus. Somebody was telling me that they went to the Christmas parade and they announced that now it's the man of the hour and he's going to be coming down, and said when Santa Claus come riding up on his float, they said the only thing they could hear was the dream that I had. See, I never had any problem with old Santa. I thought that it was, Paul made the statement, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. He said, but when I became old, I put away childish things. And that's all always been the category that I put Santa Claus in. I mean, when I first started preaching, I would have him come to the church. I'd get somebody to dress up as old, at the end of the service, we would be expecting somebody from the North Pole, and then the knock would come at the door. Somebody ran outside, put on the clothes and coming in, just something like that, and then they would come in and ho, 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 and walking all down the aisle, and, he'd go over to see the little children, and they just loved him so much. Not really. They would scream, go up under the chair, act like he was gonna kill him. It was almost like the children were the only ones that had good sense. They saw him look like something with a pitchfork instead of, I just had this dream, and I just never had a problem with it. And I have people tell me all the time, it's a lie, you shouldn't tell your children lies, and yada, yada, yada. And I haven't even told this dream for several years now because, I thought maybe it might offend a few people, but I was dreaming. I don't make this stuff up. And I'm just dreaming that there's a Christmas parade going on. And in my dream, I'm running real hard. I want to get there to see baby Jesus when he comes down. I want to see him. I know he's going to be the last float. But I can tell the parade, the lights are flashing. It's alive. And it was the Christmas parade. And I'm running with everything I've got to get to get there. And then whenever they do announce that it is the main float, it is the main person, the main event. And I look and it's not being baby Jesus at all. It's a man with a red suit and a beard and a little overweight and all this kind of stuff. And he's coming down. And in my dream, when he got right in front of me, he looked, he usually Santa's ho, 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 Merry Christmas. But when he got right in front of me, he looked me right in the eye and he said, ho, ho, ho. I woke up with chills. It's such a mockery if you slow it down. It's like, I did it. I defeated the person you came to see. I replaced him, and you got to deal with it. But I've got news for you. I still know the right person. I still know that that right person also has a right place. Hallelujah. You see, we talk about Bethlehem. It is so amazing to me that he was born in Bethlehem. He was not born in Bethlehem, Judah. He was born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. In Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata. Now, Ephrata, what you've got to understand. See, there is a Bethlehem, Judah. Judah, who was the fourth child of Jacob and Leah, and he cut covenant with Benjamin, the second child of Jacob and Rachel. And so then this Judah has a child by his daughter-in-law, and his name, Phares. Ephrathah means fruit. So Phares was the fruit of Judah. And he goes and he starts his own little Bethlehem. And it's here that the fruit is being born. It is here that the fruit that is going to come from God, the seed that has been sown, is going to be born in this little town. And yet out of these shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Do you understand? Here it is 700 years before this baby is going to be born, and people are writing about it. And they're not only talking how it's going to be a child is going to be born and a son is going to be given, but they're also writing about the exact spot that he was going to be born, because it says in Luke in chapter 2 in verses 8 through 12, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Did you know under the law that they had to raise up a little lamb? Every year they had to bring them a lamb for sacrifice, and they would raise that lamb up. As soon as they sacrificed one, they would begin to bring forth another one. And you see, there was a manger, there was a stable where they raised these lambs. And you see, the angels told the shepherds, this is the sign that I'm going to give you. You will know exactly where he's at, because he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh my God, there was only one stable where they kept swaddling clothes, and that was the stable where the lambs were born for the sacrifice. And when they were little, because they had to be spotless, they couldn't have a scratch on them. And so when they weren't able to stand and walk with their own strength, they would wrap these little lambs in swaddling clothes, and they would hold them, and they would protect them until they were strong enough to make sure they wouldn't fall and scar themselves, because the lamb had to be perfect. And I want to tell you, isn't it amazing how God can put everything together and the place becomes precise and destined and accurate, and they've got to be there. But the amazing thing is, you know, it would be wonderful if they were just in the town and it showed up. But you see, there had to be a taxation at the right time. Mary had to be espoused to a man who was from Bethlehem. The taxation had to mean that they went back to where they were born to pay their taxes. Amen. And they passed the law. Now the man is from Bethlehem. Now, they pass it at the time Mary is about to give birth. And so many people had to go to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. And when they got to Bethlehem with his pregnant wife, and now the inn has got to be full. There's no room in the inn. Do you see all of this coming together? How they had to be at this place. God says 700 years before, this is where he's going to be born. Somebody had set up the stable for the sacrificial lambs to be born. And he had to be there on the night that the baby was going to be born. Is this a lot of coincidence? What are you trying to get to, Brother David? I'm just saying God can cause the head of the nation to sign a decree that all the world should be taxed at the right time. God can espouse a little virgin girl to a man who is exactly from the right place, and they have to get there at exactly the right time. And outside of the inn that had no room in it, over here is the place where the sacrificial lambs have been raised for thousands of years. And now the baby that is the sinless child that is being born is going to walk. Their parents are going into the same stable where all of the lambs have been born. And God said it's going to be born in this spot. He is the Lamb of God for the whole wide world, my God. Lord. And he came that we would have a right peace. Luke 2, 13 through 14. And he said, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus said in John 14, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. I tell you what, I believe we need to reinstate that peace in our heart and in our minds. I believe and I'm confident that there's people that this Christmas season, their hearts are a little bit troubled, and they may be just a little bit afraid, but he came that your peace might be made full, that you don't have to be afraid of anything. We've got peace. They talk about peace through strength. They talk about all kinds of peace, but Jesus said, the peace that I'm bringing is not as the world gives, but I'm going to give unto you a peace that is not only for the days of these lives, for all of eternity. It's the peace that says to the storm, peace, be still. It is the peace that says into our lives, he speaks it into our soul. By God, he has come. Are you dreaming of a right peace? But then there's the right price. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 1:18-21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times unto you. Do you see that? He's always been. He's always there. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. For we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God that was born without spot, without sin. He who knew no sin became sin. So we who were born in sin and shapen in iniquity and knew no righteousness, we could be righteous in the eyes of God. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what made it right. It's not that we just believe in the right Christmas, but it's what made our lives right in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. In John 17, I love these verses right here. John 17, 23 and 24. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. We were made perfect with that gift. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. It was when the Father gave what he loved the most. that he let us know that he loved us as much as he loved his son. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want to tell you something. Even when you were fallen, even when man was broken, God demonstrated through his son, if he loved you as he loved him, that he loved you always. Hallelujah. 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 You know, some people just love what's perfect, but God loved you beyond your faults. And you can never know true love until you've been loved beyond your faults. Amen. And amen. And amen. I know I share this story, but it happened at Christmas time with Brother Harry Wood. And he wanted to talk to me. He was dying. And they said he kept calling for me. And when I got there and he said, I finally figured out what he was saying. He wanted me to tell him that he was all right. He knew he was going. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but it's very humbling to me that somebody needs me to tell them that they're okay on their way out. Because unto all of us, this gift was given. And I finally understood what he was saying. And it's like the Spirit just spoke through me and gave me these words to tell him. And I said, Brother Harry, I said, God doesn't love you because you were perfect. But you were perfect because of God's great love for you. We'll never be perfect in the eyes of people around us. But because of this gift, he was the perfect gift. And he was given to us. And this love for us is what makes us perfect in his sight, because we received his righteousness. Do you understand me? This is the right price, the right reason that he came. And it was so amazing. We could barely make out what he was saying. And then he stopped talking to me. And I'll never forget that day. When he started talking to God, he started praying. Every word that came out of his mouth was so clear and so vivid. Everything, you didn't have any problem understanding one word that he said when he was talking to God. And I looked over at Miss Carolyn and her tears just coming down, and I felt tears coming down my face, and it just like, man, we just stepped into the throne room of Almighty God. Hallelujah. My Lord, when you're getting to the weak place that you cannot be understood here, he that loves you and sent his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life, he still allows the clarity, but the right purpose, the reason for the season. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read about a man named Simeon. He was a devout man, and the Holy Ghost had come upon him, and the Holy Ghost had told him that he would not die until he sees the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You said I would see your salvation. And not only have I seen him, but I've wrapped my arms around him. Mine eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Isn't that what the angel said to the shepherds? And he shall be to all people a Savior, and the glory of thy people Israel. You're going to be a light to the Gentiles. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Oh, my blessed Lord. This man's holding a baby, but yet he knows everything that's going to happen to the baby. God has given Isaiah and Micah and given revelations to Simeon that he was going to see the Lord's salvation. He was going to hold the Savior in his hand. Yet a sword shall pierce through, talking to Mary, thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Not only did he see the salvation and hold the baby, how in the world do you hold a baby and know that you're holding the salvation of the world? And then at the same time, he tells Mary that a sword is going to pierce through your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts are going to be revealed. You're going to suffer. You're going to feel the pain. You thought there was pain when this baby was born, but there's going to be a greater pain. When this baby dies, it's going to be like the spear in his side. It's going through your very soul, but it's going to change the hearts. Are going to be exposed. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm telling you that this baby changed everything. Everything. Simeon said, let me depart now in peace. That's what he came for, so that we could live in this present world. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. He brought peace to this earth. But Simeon said, he brought peace as I leave this earth. Whether I'm here or whether I'm gone, this baby brought this special peace to the whole world. And he is the Savior. Whether anybody receives him or not, he is your plan for salvation. Would you stand with me in this house? Are you dreaming of a right Christmas? A Christmas where the Savior is Lord. A Christmas where we can hold this baby and realize that God sent him so that he could live and grow, and he could experience pain and rejection and difficulties and sorrows and hurts, so that he could understand every part of what our life was like. But he also sent him that he could cast out devils, that he could heal the sick and raise the dead and bring peace. See, it was a twofold visit that he made. He came that he might know us. And he also came that we might know him. That's why it's not a religion anymore. It's a relationship. Because the relationship is, when you get to know them and they get to know you. The only missing link between the temporary and the eternal is a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem.